Well, hello, everyone. Today on Roll Call with the Chief, we're going to talk to Lieutenant Doug Groves about the 2019 Police Unity Tour. And tell us a little bit about the Police Unity Tour and the significance of that event. Doug, how long have you been with the police department?
I've been with the department a little over 24 years.
Is that right? So you're now officially one of the old guys like
yes,
me.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure you probably had a lot more hair when you started, and it probably wasn't gray, you know.
And a little thinner, too.
Well, same boat, but that's all right. You know, Father Time catches up to all of us, there's no doubt. So, Doug, the Police Unity Tour, can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, the Police Unity Tour is it's a charitable organization that every year during Police Week, they have a 250-mile bicycle ride. There's actually 9 different chapters now. It started off with 1 chapter out of New Jersey back in 1997, and it's grown into 9 different chapters with over 2,500 members. Each of the 9 chapters begins their ride. It's a bicycle ride, like I said, 250 miles. It points around Washington, D.C., and all 9 of the chapters work their way riding into D.C. over a 3-day period, and then they converge at a location there and meet, and then the entire group rides together to the police memorial.
Oh, and how long have you been participating in
this? This will be my 9th year.
Is that right? Wow, that's amazing. It sounds like you started it the first time that I ever went through it.
Yeah, I think my first year was definitely with you and Mayor Castor.
Yeah, Mayor Castor, our former chief of police, she's done it several times. I've had the been able to experience. I've done it 3 times. My first year was going on 10 years now. Back this August will be 10 years ago when Mike Roberts was murdered in the line of duty, and that was actually, so I guess I did it 9 years ago. The following year, that's what motivated me to get involved in the Police Unity Tour, and it certainly is, you know, an interesting event. It's a physical challenge. It's an emotional challenge. There's a lot of emotions tied to that. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. So this year we have 8 officers that are participating. That includes 3 of our retired officers, and we have 2 of our motor units. So if you could, let's just kind of give our listeners a little insight of, you know, maybe a virtual ride, so to speak, on the cities and the different things that the cities that we visit that we go through on the actual tour. And what to expect when you come across during the tour this year.
Yeah, we start our tour in Portsmouth, Virginia. So we meet there as a chapter. We spend a day there. We go through safety briefings, and the support groups get organized. And then we start off the morning of the 10th, because the ride's always conducted the 10th, 11th, and 12th, because the candlelight vigil is always held on May 13th. So the morning of the 10th, we will ride out of Portsmouth. And that's one of our days where it's a little bit more scenic, and you're less tired than you're going to be later, you know, over the next couple of days. The first day is actually our longest day of riding. It's about 115 miles. And like I said, we begin in Portsmouth, and then our first lunch day is going to be held in Yorktown, which is a very beautiful area to ride through. That's actually where General Cornwallis surrendered to General Washington. And you actually ride right by the field that's marked, the field that where the British surrendered. So it's really neat there. We have a lunch at a park that's on the side of York River. And then one of the few hills of that day is actually the bridge that crosses the York River, because it spans pretty high because there's a naval base there, so the big ships have to be able to get underneath it. But after we break for lunch, one of the neatest experiences that I've had on the tour was back in 2016. We made a stop after lunch that day in Page Middle School, which is in Gloucester, Virginia, and they had 650 students, and all of the faculty were all there. It was a surprise. Nobody knew that we were doing it other than the executive board members. So we rode into there, and all the students and all the faculty were out there cheering and yelling, and each of the students had actually chosen a fallen officer from the previous year and researched those officers and made a placard with like their information and their picture on it. And the in our group, our chapter, we have approximately 30 survivors, which are husbands and wives and children of and mothers and fathers of officers that have been killed in the line of duty. And the placards that students had made for those officers were presented to the families. So that was one of the, like I said, very emotional, you know, very touching moment. And like I said, one of the greatest experiences I've had with the Unity Tour. Then we continue on for that day to Tappahannock is where we end our day there. And like I said, that's it is our longest day, about 115 miles, but it's also one of our flattest days. It's got some hills and climbing to it, but it's mostly pretty flat. The second day we start off.
Let's talk a little bit about that because you know, from my personal experience, I remember that the very first day, it's such a long day, you know, and you're just on that bike for 12 hours. And I remember somebody said to me that when we got that to the end of that first day, once you hit about the, 2 miles left mark, you just kind of went off. You just wanted to get off the bike, you know, because, you know, your butt is literally sore from being on a bike seat, and I remember when I think we hit about 5 miles left, and we started hitting a bumpy road, and you know, you're tired, you're fatigued, it's a very long day, even though it's flat, you're still on a bike for going 110, 115 miles, and I remember I just got like about 5 miles out, and I was like, just get me off this bike. You know, and I think I could have walked and carried my bike. That's how much I wanted off of it. But yeah, you know, you kind of trudge through it because it's for such a great cause. I used to say when I started to get tired and fatigued, I would kind of try and remind myself as to why I was doing it, and the fact that you think about the sacrifices of the fallen officers that they went through and that their families went through. And so I thought, well, the least I can do is just do this bike ride and kind of finish through it. So let's go to the second day.
Okay, yep, day two. And actually, I'm sorry. I remember that day the year we rode, where that it was a long stretch where they were doing construction and they had ground up the road and it was just horrible, horrible riding. And then I remember your bike started making some horrible noises where nobody wanted to ride near you.
Was me that was making horrible noises. I just tried to tell everybody it was bike.
But I got
yes, I'll never forget that. I ran into some mechanical problems, and I was bound to determine to just keep on going. But I thought maybe it was a sick, cruel joke where they, you know, chopped up the road just to make me suffer on my very first ride.
They did. But like you said, we think about the officers that have died, and each of us chooses an officer from the previous year that we wear a band on our wrist that has their name and information on it. So, you know, you look at that band and remember the fallen officers and think about what you're doing it for, and that helps you push through the physical pain that you're going through. But, yes, for day two, we start off in Tappahannock, and there's day two and day three are both shorter than the first day, but both of them have a lot of very large hills that you have to climb.
Yeah, the fact that it's shorter, I think that's just a mind game that they kind of play with you. Oh, it's much shorter. And then when you see some of those hills, you know why it's
yes,
much shorter.
I would rather do 200 miles a day flat than have to do the 70 miles of hills, because around here in Florida, you know, there are no hills. You have to travel somewhere to go practice on hills to get ready for the ride.
Yeah. Now, before you really go into day two, tell the truth. How's it really start out for the older guys like me and you? You take two a leave before you get on the bike, don't you? Because
you
had a long day the day before, and you're trying to deal with it. So it's either motrin or a leave. It's whatever choice it is that day.
That's it. And you can smell all of the creams everybody's putting, the minty creams, to try and relax their muscles because they're so sore. But yeah, riding down the elevator, you definitely get a strong smell of the mint.
So on day two, after leaving Tappahannock, what do we do there?
Day two, Tappahannock. The one thing I can remember from day two is there's the one hill that they always, all of the people that have been there, they make it seem like the most horrible thing you're ever going to imagine. I'm sure you know which one.
I bet you're going to say AP Hill.
That's it. Fort AP Hill, which is an Army training facility. Fort AP Hill, and there's actually, it's a series of like three large hills, and right before lunch we come to a T intersection and we make a right to go to lunch, but then if you look to the left you can see the hill, so then you scare yourself, so then you go to lunch and then you have to sit there thinking about this huge hill you got to climb right after you get done eating. So yeah, it's it's like, you know, like we've said, it's a pretty grueling to get through this. It's for some people that are avid cyclists and real skinny and all that, you know, it's not as tough for them, but for people like me, it's kind of hard to push through those hills.
Yeah, for the beefier guys like me and you, you know, it's nothing simple on a bicycle.
Right. So we climb AP Hill, and then on that day we will end up in Fredericksburg, which in the first night, Tappahannock, we have to break up the group into like different hotels, and then in Fredericksburg we actually have one hotel that accommodates everybody, so it's really nice. But on all 3 days of the ride, the biggest thing and the most exciting things, it's not as much the scenery, but it's the people that are standing on the sides of the road that are supporting you. And that also gives you a lot more drive, gives you a lot more energy, because you see kids and you see families, and there's firemen and that are lined up saluting, and with their, you know, with their ladder trucks with the American flag on top. So all those things are really the scenery. It's not so much the land, but it's more the people.
Yeah, the little stops, like you said. You talked about the first day and the school children lined up along the side of the road. It's very touching. It's a very, you know, when you think about why you're doing it, and then you see the emotional part of the people along the side of the road. Now, there was a bridge that we stopped and laid a wreath. Do you remember?
Yes.
That the first or second day? Or?
I think that's the second day. There's a river that we cross. I believe it's right before lunch, and there was actually one of the Unity Tour members, his father was responding to a call and crashed and went over the side of the bridge and was killed. So yeah, we stop there and lay a wreath at that location, and the family makes a speech, and then we continue on to lunch afterwards.
Yeah, so it's all those little things like that that is kind of amazing. And then, you know, Fredericksburg is a neat little town, and so you spend the night there, and then you wake up the next morning and it's day three and off to Washington, D.C., and which is a very interesting. Kind of walk us through the third day and what kind of goes through your mind physically and emotionally.
Well, the day three, obviously getting on the seat of the bike, that's the worst day to get on because, like you said, it really, really hurts. But luckily, after a few minutes, it goes numb. So, and then each time you get off the bike and for a break, you have to get back on and do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But day three is actually, we start off extremely early. We're actually on the bikes riding, I believe, at 4:45 in the morning. And I want to say, like 2 years ago, it was like 38 degrees raining, and it rained all day long, and it started off 38 degrees at 4:45 in the morning, so I don't even have the sun like shining down on you to warm you up at that time. But all the different chapters, I think that, like, the chapter presidents or somebody have a bet of who's going to be the last person to reach our rally point in Washington, D.C. So Hugh Miller, he's one of our retired captains from here. He's been doing the tour actually since the very first year that the Chapter 8 was formed, which is back in 2004.
Yeah, you've been doing it for quite some time. I think when Hugh Miller started, the bicycle tires were square,
I think.
Around for a while.
I think he's going to have to get on a tricycle soon. but so we leave Brighton early, so we are not going to be the last chapter to arrive. And day three, again, there's lots and lots of very long, very large hills. And again, you just have to reach deep and push your way through it. And that's something that's huge is the training beforehand. Hundreds and hundreds of hours you have to train to prepare yourself for the ride. But yeah, day three, what you're looking forward to is your ride into Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and so let's we're going to get ready to go on a break because I want to kind of get into that third day and how it what it is where the rallying point is, and then how you're going to actually go into Washington, D.C. at the Law Enforcement Memorial and what kind of takes place with that, which really is what the whole thing is all about.
Right.
So, we're going to go ahead and take a break right now, and we will be back with Roll Call with the Chief.
Did you know that the City of Tampa provides teens with a safe place to socialize during the summer? A place where they can play sports, hang out with friends, and eat a healthy meal. The city's Stay and Play program is where you'll find all this and more. Stay and Play is offered at select Tampa rec centers and pools 7 days a week from 6 p.m. until midnight. Stay and Play is free, and teens ages 13 through 19 receive a complimentary rec card and a ride back home at the end of the night. Sign your child up today for Stay and Play, a safe and fun alternative to hanging in the streets during the summer. For more information about the 2019 Stay and Play program, visit your nearest Tampa Parks and Rec Center or go online to tampagov.net/teens.
And we are back. So you are now listening to Roll Call with the Chief with me, your host, Chief Brian Dugan of the Tampa Police Department. Today I'm here with Lieutenant Doug Groves, and we are talking about the Police Unity Tour. And Doug, you know, you walked us through the, you know, the 3-day, 250-mile ride. We discussed what it was like that first and second day, and we're now into the third day. And, you know, we're about halfway through the third day. But if I could kind of take a little executive privilege, maybe let's get into a little bit more about the Police Unity Tour. And, you know, it's about, you know, every name has a story, and it's about riding for fallen police officers, you know, that year that died in the line of duty. And what it is, you know, talk a little bit before we get to our trip, to how the rallying point at RFK Stadium and how so many riders going to Washington, D.C. But let's talk a little bit about the bands, the metal bands that everybody has when they ride. And they're riding for a specific officer. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. I actually have taken a little bit more involvement with the tour, and I actually the last several years have been the person that is in charge of ordering the bands. And we have like a month-long period in March where each person that's in the Unity Tour, they can request somebody specific that they want to ride for that was killed the previous year. And then after that time frame that they can submit a name, then everybody else gets just randomly assigned to everybody, so we make sure that everybody gets represented. So if there's somebody local or somebody you feel strongly a connection with or something that you want to ride specifically for them, you can do that. And like, for example, this year I'm riding for Officer Brunson Kalalua, who was with the Honolulu County Police Department. And I didn't choose him specifically, but he was one of the individuals that nobody had specifically requested, so randomly this is who I was assigned. So, you know, he was a 46-year-old. He had been with the department 9 years. And, you know, he was killed, shot and killed during a traffic stop for a felony warrant. And, you know, we try to dig into those things and dig into, you know, what happened and research the person, you know, so we, you know, we get a better connection with them. And then also through some websites, we contact the agency. And these metal bands that have this person's name, their end of work, and their department listed on them, we traditionally present those to the family. Lots of times the families will travel to Washington, D.C. during police week, because that's when they've now engraved the names onto the memorial wall. So then they will list off all of those names during the candlelight vigil on the 13th. So lots of times we're able to meet the families there. If not, then we usually will write a letter and mail the band to the family. And I remember the first year I rode, it was after Dave and Jeff had been shot and killed, and we were able to present the family or their wives with the bands there right when we arrived in D.C. at the memorial. Mm-hmm. But that's what the Unity Tour is for. It's actually to raise awareness of officers that have been killed in the line of duty. And also we raise money for the National Law Enforcement Officer Memorial and the museum, which actually just opened earlier this year. So, you know, the memorial gives a place for people to go to mourn and people to go to remember. So it's a really beautiful monument that they've created there in D.C. And I'm looking forward to seeing the museum this year.
Yeah, it's really, really something to see. I encourage all law enforcement officers to go to it, especially to police week at one point in their career. And I just encourage people in general to head to the Law Enforcement Memorial in Washington, D.C., because it's something, it's just amazing when you look at the number of names that are engraved in the wall and think that those are people and that they had families and friends and extended families and stuff. And it's a very emotional event. It's an emotional place. You know, every time I go back there, I look at the names of some of the TPD people that we've lost over the years. You know, my first year I rode for Mike Roberts, but I also rode for a man named Paul Schulow. He was a Pittsburgh police officer who went to the same high school as me. And I got to meet his family through it. It was a very emotional event for me. I still keep in touch with his family. Murdered in the same year as Mike Roberts was. And, to go to ride for 3 days and meet the families. A lot of times you get to meet them when we ride our bicycles literally right into the law enforcement memorial, and you get to meet them, present them with your bands and everything. And it's an emotional time for them. I think the families are kind of set back that a complete stranger from somewhere across the nation would ride on behalf of their loved one. And that's most time that's where you get to meet them, right at the finish line, so to speak.
Right.
And so getting to the finish line, if I can now backtrack to you where we were before our break, is, you're halfway, you wake up in that third morning, again, you pop some of leave and get on a bike and go. And then it's the race to RFK Stadium, right?
Right.
Because all of the different chapters from the U.S., would you say there's how many?
There's 9 chapters and about 2,500 members.
And you see, all these cop cars and motorcycles, and everybody pull in the RFK. And once everybody gets there, we then rally, and you line up 2,500 bicyclists, side by side, and take an escort from RFK Stadium into downtown Washington, D.C. It's pretty amazing. Again, traffic stops and people come outside and line the streets and kind of clap and cheer the cops on. And what kind of feeling is that when that's going on?
Oh, it's very uplifting and very, it's to see how many people actually support us and how many people are actually cheering us on. I mean, it really gives you such a good feeling and, exhilarates you. And there was one year that I went, and it was disappointing because I went a couple years, and there's at Washington D.C. especially, there's like people lining the roads the whole way cheering, and like the schools were all lined up. We rode like a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Saturday and Sunday there was no schools and nobody's working in D.C. But the biggest obviously spot where there's the most people cheering us is when we actually arrive at the memorial. And they got it set up really nicely where we get to actually ride our bicycles through the memorial, which is the only time that they allow that. And that's where there's thousands and thousands of people there cheering, standing and sitting and on people, other people, kids on the shoulders and everybody cheering and trying to high-five you, which is, you try to do it, but you're scared to do it too because you're so tired and wobbly. But again, like I said, you're so exhilarated at this point with all these people yelling and cheering for you that it's super uplifting.
Yeah, and there's always that stress of trying to weave through a crowd and a slate sidewalk, and you got you're high-fiving one hand on the brake, and next thing you wipe out. It's going to be pretty embarrassing. I think that's the big motto of the day is when we get that close, whatever you do, just don't wipe out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Just a great uplifting event. And and then when you get there, you get to meet the loved ones of whoever you're riding and present them with the bands, and it's just really a phenomenal event. So for that 3-day 250-mile bike ride, what kind of prep goes into that? Because you're not going to just get onto a bike and start riding, and that's the thing. And these aren't, your cheap bikes. A lot of these are high-end bicycles and all that stuff with the road bikes and everything. What kind of prep goes into that?
Well, yeah, like you said, first you have to invest in a good bicycle because you can't go to Walmart or somewhere and buy their $100 bike and it's not going to make it.
Not that there's anything wrong with Walmart.
No, they're absolutely not.
I don't need Walmart bringing heat on us, all right?
Yeah, not to demean Walmart, but I'm just saying you need at least a couple $1,000 usually into one of these bicycles, which was sticker shock when I went to actually go buy one for the first time. But I started actually training July of 2010. I wasn't much of a bicyclist, but it was July of 2010 when I started training for the ride, which was May of the next year. And I rode at least 3 mornings a week, about 30 miles, or I built up to that over a couple months, but 3 miles at least, or 30 miles at least like 3 times a week in the morning before work. And then when it got closer, starting like in December and January, I would have to drive up to an area north of here where there's actual hills on the weekends. So it'd be like an hour and a half ride to get up there, and then I would ride the hills for 4 or 5 hours and then an hour and a half drive back home. And you do that like at least one Saturday or even Saturday and Sunday for several weeks. And it's like I said, it takes hundreds of hours of training to get prepared for this. And it's well worth it. This year, I'm not in bicycle shape because I'm doing support this year, so there wasn't much prep work for that. But for everybody that's riding in it, it literally takes hundreds and hundreds of hours of training.
Well, the support group is, almost maybe even more important than the actual people riding, because without the support group, so much of it wouldn't get done. Kind of talk about what goes on. How do you get together, that many cops and ride through so many different states and areas? And, Lord knows it's quite the, getting everybody on the same page, all the different jurisdictions that we cover and everything. What goes into some of the support to get that thing done?
Well, there's a lot of the executive board and then some, like, different committee members and stuff that they will start. I'm sure they've already started. They won't even wait till after this year's tour is over to begin the process for next year for 2020 already. They've got, like you said, they've got to get permitting. They've got insurance companies they've got to deal with. They actually travel the route prior to our ride to make sure, if there is some kind of weird construction thing that we can avoid, they'll try to avoid that. They have to have all different kinds of permits, especially in Washington, D.C. So lots of times we have to change our route into Washington, D.C. because they've denied our permits for one route, so we have to choose another route.
Okay. So what are the dates for this year's route?
The Unity Tour, it always takes place the 10th, 11th, and 12th of May. And then May 13th, they have the Candlelight Vigil, which is, like I said, that's what they always, on Police Week, is always on the 13th.
Yeah, I always remember that it always hovers right around Mother's Day.
Yes.
Which is always a little bit of a jam for a lot of people.
It is. You get the stink eye.
Yeah, it's like, luckily it's for a good cause, because
yes,
that's probably the only way we can get moms to be a little more lenient for not being there. And so usually you have to make sure they get a little something extra. So we have, we talked about it earlier, we have some officers riding this year. What is there a website or is there anything like that people can go out and find, learn more about the Police Unity Tour? And I know if there's anyone that still wants to donate, you can reach out to TPD on Facebook and we can put them in contact or even do a direct tweet. Yeah, did you see that? I got that direct tweet on about Twitter.
Yes.
And so I'm starting to learn all the social media stuff. But is there a website that would tell people more about the Police Unity Tour?
Yeah, for our chapter, it's www.policeunitytourviii.org.
Okay, so that's like Police Unity Tour 7, kind of like they kind of like the Roman numeral.
Correct.
Thing. Yeah,
correct.
Okay.
But
I can think they makes them feel like they're more hip if they do.
I don't want to correct
Roman
you, but
numeral
it's
thing.
An 8.
Is that what it is? Was it 8? Oh, 3? 3. So it's V. Wow, okay.
V-I-I-I.
Wow. So it's 7 or 8?
8.
Eight. Okay. Well, that's why I'm a chief and not an accountant, So don't bust my chops too much, You get what you pay for, what I'm saying? So it's the – say that again because I totally screwed it up. So what is it?
It's www.policeunitytourviii.com. Or
okay.
I'm sorry, .org.
Oh, see, now I'm throwing you off.
Yep.
But, look, it's simple. It's Chapter 8 of the Police Unity
Correct.
Tour. There's a thing
you can
called
Google it.
Yeah,
yep.
Dr. Google will help you with that type of thing. So I think that's the biggest thing is, if I had to give the message, is that the Police Unity Tour kind of tells the story of the fallen heroes. And so often it gets lost. I think the magical part of the Police Unity Tour is that it connects – families of the fallen with current officers from all around the nation. It's certainly worth something to see. It's donating to a great cause in the law enforcement, National Law Enforcement Memorial. As far as I know, there's not a whole lot of financial assistance given to the National Law Enforcement Memorial without I think the major fundraiser is the Police Unity Tour, correct?
Yeah, it is, yes.
Yeah, and so that's the big thing. you know, it's I encourage everybody to kind of look into the Police Unity Tour. I've always encouraged our fellow police officers to get involved in it because I think it's a good way for them to get in shape and a good way to draw attention to such a wonderful cause. And, you know, they said for me, I did it three times. It's just a very emotional type of event. It certainly is the way to do things as far as getting involved. It's an experience law enforcement officers have a rare opportunity to be involved in. And so, Doug, before we go, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I appreciate you having me, and I will actually be posting on our TPD Facebook page while we're there, so I'll keep posting pictures and letting people know where we're at.
All right. Well, please do, because I think that's important. I think there's a tremendous amount of interest in it. I know when we've done it in the past, we get a lot of good feedback from people, and they like to know what's going on. So thanks for having us. And that is it for today. That is with Lieutenant Doug Groves of the Police Unity Tour. He is the tour coordinator for the Tampa Police Department. And until next time, let's be careful out there.
Roll Call with Chief Brian Dugan is directed and produced by Janelle McGregor, with technical assistance provided by Eddie Durkin, Steve Haggerty, and Derek Lang. Keep the conversation going on social media, following @TampaPD on Facebook and Twitter, and use the hashtag Roll Call.